Welcome to the Grace Hill Podcast, a weekly podcast of our Sunday messages driven by our pastor, Michael Norman. Grace Hill exists to bring God's biblical truth to your everyday life. As we begin this week's message, we invite you to open your Bibles and capture what God has in store for you today.
If we're not jumping into a specific series such as the forgiveness one we just did, we'll talk back and forth about what's the Lord doing in the church, what sort of message would be good for right now. And often I'll pull in a message that I've recently preached somewhere else and preach it here too. Such a waste of hours and days of preparation to only be able to give a message once, right? And so I often pull that in if I have the opportunity. But this particular time around was interesting. I was looking through and I had a couple of ideas to propose that this might be good for Grace Hill. And then my devotional from, I think, Tuesday morning jumped out at me so incredibly, and I think you'll believe as I set this up that I think you'll agree this is what the Lord has for us today. I'm going to talk today about self-discipline. Tons of fun, right? So this got to be impressed by the Lord, because who wants to choose to talk about self-discipline? This morning in our prayer time before the service, Pastor Michael asked me to give a little summary of what we'd be talking about today, and as I mentioned that, Dr. Greg, who is over Grace Kids today, leans over and goes, "We're talking about the exact same thing in Children's Church today. This wasn't communicated at all." And so, I mean, of all the things to talk, as I'm driving here this morning thinking of this subject matter, I honestly had the thought, I'm glad I'm not talking to kids about this. It's like talking to them about having to save for retirement. You know, it's just not in their mind, self-denial. And so I think you would probably agree with me there. Perhaps the Lord is up to something today. So let me tell you the passage that jumped out at me about this. It's Proverbs chapter 7, and you can read it later. I'm going to give you a little synopsis of it. And it is as graphic as I'm saying it is. Proverbs chapter 7 is from the perspective of a father talking to his son. And he is essentially saying, son, there will be times in your life where everything within you wants to do something you know you shouldn't do. It will feel right. It will look right. The opportunity will present itself to you. And in those moments, you will have to learn to tell yourself no. And it could be any number of things, of course, whenever we start talking about that. I could show any sort of number of pictures from different phases of life this morning that would, you know, for some of us, I could throw a donut up on screen and our mouths would start watering. For some of us, I could throw a nice car on screen and a few of us would be like, oh, nice car. And then some of us would be like, oh my gosh, if I could have that, all of my problems would go away. And so there are different appetites that we have that are stirred, and that's the way we are, isn't it? And so this father, talking to his son, says, son, I know a guy. And one evening, he was out with his friends. Who knows, maybe it was a Friday evening. He's out and about, and they saw a woman. Now, she's a married woman, but her husband wasn't with her. And she wouldn't dress like she was married, if you know what I mean. It was pretty much all out there. And the scripture says she had an agenda. In fact, it says she was kind of dressed like a prostitute. And one young man sort of veered off path and went to get a closer look. And it says she grabbed him. She puts her hands on him. And essentially, he's like putty in her hands. And she starts coming on to him really strong, saying, yeah, I have a husband, but he's gone on a business trip. He's not going to be back for days. And he took a lot of money with him. He's all good. If you'll come with me tonight, we can go back home. The lights are down. The sheets are washed. And we can have each other all night. You can have as much of me as you want, and we'll go at it until the sun comes up. That's what the scripture says. Makes me a little uncomfortable to even say it. And then, I'll go back to reading it now, so I don't have to look you in the eyes while I tell you that story. Proverbs 7:21. Guys, because of the power outage and communication stuff, my stuff isn't going to be up there this morning. So I'll give you some scripture references to write down. And if you'll jot those down and look at them later, I think it'll be an encouragement to you. Proverbs 7:21-23, the father finishes his story and says, she seduces him with her persistent pleading. She lures him with her flattering talk, and he follows her impulsively. Say impulsively. like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer bounding toward a trap until an arrow pierces its liver, like a bird darting into a snare, and he doesn't know it will cost him his life. That word impulsively. How often in your life, it could be something as high stakes as your marriage or something as everyday as a donut, something where you know you shouldn't, either because of a potentially catastrophic outcome or because it is just another step in the wrong direction that you were trying not to go anymore. How often do you and me, how often do we give into our impulse over wisdom or conviction or some sort of vision? That's what I want to talk about. And so this passage is a great platform to move forward because it's not all sexual desire. It's any number of desires that we talked about this morning. And Scripture gives us a lot of list of incredibly valid desires. But this morning, we're talking about saying no to fleshly impulses, things where we know I don't need to keep trending in that direction. I don't need to do that at all. And one of the things we know from Scripture is that as Christians, we are encouraged to expect the fact that there are times when the right step of obeying God feels totally in opposition to our emotions and feelings on the inside. That we could actually, though we may obey Jesus by choice, really struggle with the feeling of it. And the scriptural principle is this, Proverbs 14:12, it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, its way leads to death." That there are ways that can seem right to everything in us, and sometimes if the word didn't say something that it says, we just might not find any reason to agree. And so as for a Christian, though, we shouldn't at all be surprised. Galatians chapter 5 says, "Now those who belong to Christ have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires." It means in the deepest parts of us, we submit that to Jesus and say, "Jesus, this is there. I can't lie about it. It's how I feel. It's what I want. But if you will empower me to do this, I want to go your way." Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. I want to give you a great quote from a guy named James Allen this morning. It says this, "You will become as small as your controlling desire or as great as your dominant aspiration." You will become as small as your controlling desire or as great as your dominant aspiration. Have you ever been in a place where some small controlling desire that's not really worthy to control you, but it is, and it's keeping you from something significant that you care about even more? That you desire fellowship with the Lord in the mornings, but snooze. It's a smaller controlling desire that we're given to that keeps us from something greater, but we all have those things in different parts of our life. We greatly desire a real connection with our kids, but we give in to the fatigue at the end of the day, and I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk about Pokemon. I'm sorry. I don't care. You will become as small as your controlling desire or as great as your dominant aspiration. So this morning, I want to talk about why we should be willing to say no to ourselves because of four rewards of discipline. There are more rewards than these four, but I want to give you four specific rewards that we gain whenever we're willing to say no to ourselves. And that's one of the things that we often forget about when it comes to discipline, is that the point isn't simply to be strong. Since I've become a Christian, I've stopped enjoying anything. I can tell myself no to pretty much anything. Live the life of a Puritan. Don't even use salt on my food. Sometimes we can look at discipline that way. And we're like, you've got to enjoy life. And whenever we start looking at discipline that way, you've got to enjoy life. I need to enjoy myself. There's only right now. Well, actually, there's not only right now. And do we say yes to things that we can enjoy for a time and we give up greater things that mean even more to us in the clear light of day whenever we're out of a tempting situation? You set it up this way. For a fair bit of time now, I have enjoyed a little too much Blue Bell ice cream. Been a few years. Whenever I look at pictures, this is gut level. This is so embarrassing. But whenever I look at pictures of myself, whenever I started in ministry, I'm like, good Lord, if I serve the Lord for another 10, 20, 30 years in ministry, and I continue growing at the same exponential rate, it's going to get out of control. And so I've been thinking about this, but I don't know if any of you have ever had this struggle, but I go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Currently, as the Lord is my witness, I am on the longest streak of being committed to a good way of eating that I have been probably ever. And it's not been without tremendous temptation, and it's not going to be without tremendous temptation going forward. But one of the areas this played out recently was at Crystal's grandfather's 85th birthday party. How many of you know anytime you decide to eat right, Satan raises up a birthday party? If you decide to get up early in the morning and work out, you will suddenly have to stay late at work a couple of days in a row. Like, you just always have to endure these ups and downs in order to get to any sort of stable point. So we go to this birthday party, and we're eating really well. And this birthday party is not just good food, it's amazing food. It's a chuck wagon, chicken fried steak cookout. So you've got a guy with the wagon and the skin tent and just everything manly that is worthy and good in life. And they're cooking chicken fried steak. And I'm sitting there eating stupid carrots and bell peppers. I've already said no to the cookie buffet that's been out all day. And then now they're throwing down on the real food. And guys, I'm telling you, this is outdoors. They have a skillet of gravy that you could baptize a child in. It's like that deep, and it's huge. It's huge. You really could just baptize a child into Texas, you know? Do you accept Texas as your residence? I do. I baptize you in brown gravy. Raised to life to eat chicken fry. I wanted that chicken fry. Luscious, thick, double breaded and fried. And then they also had grilled pork chops, and that's what I ended up going with ultimately. But I was sitting there having this inner dialogue with myself, and I was going where I always go. You got to enjoy yourself. People turn 85 like once in their life. I'm like, yes, and then in a couple of days, Lynn, and there will be some other reason where you got to enjoy yourself. It's a day that ends in Y. You got to have some Doritos. Just, you got to do it. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, okay, this is all internal. I'm not going to enjoy the chicken fried steak tonight. I've got to say no to something at some point. And so I'm sitting there. If I'm not going to enjoy this food, what am I enjoying? At this point, we're a couple of weeks into eating better. Okay, I'm enjoying the fact that I'm sitting in this chair and I don't feel like I'm rocking a plumber look. I'm enjoying the fact that I'm waking up in the mornings and my joints aren't hurting. I'm enjoying the fact that I just took off with my kids down to a pasture to look at horses, and it just felt different, the walking, the moving. I'm enjoying the fact that my kids are saying, Daddy, you're doing good. I'm enjoying a lot of different things. I said, okay, I'm enjoying this. I can live without enjoying chicken fried steak tonight. Whenever we talk about discipline, forget the little things that you want to give into. What bigger thing do you want to have? What great thing are you willing to give up something smaller for now? So what greater aspiration are you willing to lay down smaller desires for? Does that make sense? So I want to talk to you about four rewards of saying no to yourself. And the first one is this: the reward of a stable life. The reward of a stable life. Life can throw all of us curves, but how many of us have been up and down and up and down because we're never able to say no to ourselves in some sort of area of life? So scripture says this, Proverbs chapter 25, a lot of Proverbs this morning. Proverbs 25:28 says that a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. This, in ancient cities, the wall you had around your city, it's what allowed you to sleep at night. with aggressive enemies surrounding you, you knew that you at least needed this level of protection. And it's saying that a man without self-control, somebody who can't say no to themselves, is at the mercy of every circumstance, every emotion, every temptation, everything always has open season on a person who cannot ever say no to themselves. And so for this man or this woman, if they're in a stressful time of a marriage relationship and they are tempted by someone else on the outside, it is likely they will give in because they just cannot ever say no to themselves. And so Scripture says if we don't learn to say no to ourselves, we are always at mercy of life circumstances. But the reward of being able to do that is stability, even in some tough times. And so you guys know that we teach a lot in relationships on the college campus, but I've seen this in, you know, non-college students too. How many people do you see who tend to go from one bad relationship to another, to another, to another, and the relationships are always chaotic, they're always going through tough times, and they might even get out of a breakup, and you're like, good, take a deep breath and relax for a little bit. And then they meet someone new, and before you can talk about it or they think about it, they're in another relationship. And so the deep longing of their heart, which is for something stable and something lasting that they really, really want, is given up because in the inability to ever say no to self, we end up saying yes to the same wrong type of person. Or we end up going about the relationship in the same wrong type of way over and over and over again when our heart's desire is a stable relationship. Or you look at someone who can't control themselves financially, that maybe we're living on the red line to where if we so much as had a flat tire, that's going to send us into a financial tailspin because we cannot afford $137 for one more tire. And yet in that moment at the mall, the $200 jacket that's on sale for $179, that's a fantastic deal. That's a beautiful jacket. I got to get that jacket. And so in not being able to say no to ourselves, we end up setting ourselves up for some sort of major financial crisis and instability that doesn't really have to be there. It's just we can't say no to ourself. Or you think of maybe those of us who have a really hard time keeping our emotions in check. If it is in here, it is going to come out here. No matter what is going on, whether it's a sad situation or a situation that makes us angry, and such a person is always, their marriage is always sort of, home life is always sort of off kilter because everyone's walking on eggshells around them. They don't know what version of mom they're going to get today. Or what version of dad they're going to get today. The same person, you might also end up getting overlooked for the raise or for the promotion at work all the time. Why? Because our oversight doesn't trust us with having to handle some sort of tense situation. Because we can't ever say no to an emotion we're feeling. Or we can't say no to some sort of anger that's bubbling. One of my favorite authors says, in the great scheme of things, there is nothing less important than the way you feel at a given moment. And yet, if we always give in to the way we feel at a given moment, our life ends up being very unstable, doesn't it? Incredibly so. So whenever I look at families and people that have marriages that I really admire and I want our family to learn from, and man, if we could get down the road and be like that, that's so encouraging. It turns out they have all the same temptations and all the same hardships that we do. They just end up handling things with a level of discipline. They end up saying no to certain things, and in turn, they have a bit of stability in their life that we all long for, and believe it or not, we can all have. We can't control everything that happens, but we can control more of us than we like to think if we're able to say no to self. So, the reward of a stable life. Secondly is this, the reward of a fuller life. Whenever we talk about saying no, not being an end of itself, do we realize that Jesus did not say, I have come only so you can crucify the flesh, stay home on Friday, stay a virgin until married, and not eat too much bluebell? Jesus actually said, I came that you can have life and have it to the full. And his idea of whenever he said, have life to the full, that scripture is John 10:10, I was doing a little Greek search, a little Greek research in some of my Bible software. And what it says is this, idea of abundance and fullness that's talked about in John 10:10 pertains to a quantity so abundant that it is considerably more than what you would expect or anticipate. That which is more than enough, beyond the norm, abundant. And Jesus says, this is the type of life I want you to have. If you will say no to self so that you can say yes to me and yes to what I want to give you. Some of the things that are most fulfilling in our lives, you guys know this, right? Require a lot of no's to lesser fulfilling things or to lesser desires. Things we try to get full of, whether that's wealth or food or alcohol or just whatever, things that are initially soothing or bring some small level of joy, and whenever we become gluttons for those things, it turns out we let go of so many other things that are better. And so that's why Proverbs 23:21 says, a drunkard and a glutton will become poor, and grogginess will clothe them in rags. They won't even have the energy to pursue the better things. Why? Because they're full of lesser things. They're full of lesser things. I saw a movie a couple of weeks ago. We watched it one night. It's called The Founder. Anybody seen this movie, The Founder? It's about the guy who sort of founded McDonald's by swindling the idea from the original brothers with the original burger stand. Played by Michael Keaton. Really fantastic acting job. But essentially what he does is he swoops in and he says, guys, this thing can go worldwide if you will just trust me to help you do it. And so they do, and things begin to go better, and then things begin to grow absolutely out of control. But enough is never enough for this guy, Ray Kroc. And he ends up actually moving out the guys who started McDonald's out of their own business, and it's become over time, of course, a multi-billion dollar empire. But enough was never enough for him. But whenever you look at that versus something like, say, Chick-fil-A, and two different businesses that are also in fast foods that are run entirely different, we know that Chick-fil-A actually declines to do some things that they could do, such as what? Business on Sundays. Did you know that more fast food in America is consumed on Sundays than any other day of the week? Did you know that the average fast food restaurant in America averages about $800,000 profit a year? The average McDonald's in America, though, averages $2.6 million a year. And it doesn't make any sense at all, then, that the average Chick-fil-A that chooses to shut down on the day a week where businesses of their type are most profitable, the average Chick-fil-A would end up making $4 million a year. By saying no to a basic desire to do good in business, right? But out of a conviction to honor God, to set things aside and say that our employees, it's more than just making money for us. We want them to have a fuller life. We want them to have a day they know they will be with family. We want them to have a day they know they can go to church if they so choose. There are things that we can choose that are better, but to do that always means laying down things that may be desirous, but they're lesser. That makes sense? So a stable life, a fuller life, and then the third thing, the third reward of saying no to self is an impactful life. An impactful life. I know I can never get through a sermon without talking about Rocky or some sort of sports movie, but those things have always drawn me in, and it's always because there is this visible payoff of being disciplined, even if it is for a short term. The football team that comes together, that lays down the ethnic strife, or lays down the talent war, or just whatever, or Rocky, who lays down these women weakened legs. You know, he decides, you know, he's not, never mind. That was decent, wasn't it? It was the anointing. But these wonderful sports movies, you always have this picture of, it's a really clear vision that is coming, that is worth sacrificing for ultimately. And Rocky would not be ready to fight. No football team would be ready to win. No one would be ready to accomplish any great thing in particular without saying no to self for lesser things. And so the Apostle Paul actually pulls that into the spiritual world and the life that we live for God. Paul's desire was to make Jesus famous. And you guys know this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It's Paul apparently loves sports movies too. And so he pulls in his own sports example. And he says, don't you know that all runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way as to win. Now everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. However, they do it to receive a crown that will fade away, but we a crown that will never fade away. Therefore, I do not run like one who runs aimlessly, or box like one beating the air. In other words, he says, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control. I say no to myself in so many ways, so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. So Paul had this vision of what he wanted to accomplish in life for God. He knew he was gifted by God. He knew he had a particular task from God. And yet he said, to do that thing, I've got to say no to myself. It's actually not enough just to want good things, to be generally talented. He said, I've got to say no to myself in a lot of ways. And so Paul gave up a lot of social freedoms. He gave up a number of financial freedoms. He even laid down some of his own spiritual freedoms. Why? Because his vision was so big, and he said, heaven is going to last forever. I can do without this if it means I get to bring more people with me. Vision. What is it that you want enough to accomplish in life for God that you're willing to sacrifice for? Without any sort of vision, isn't it the case that saying no to yourself is just awful? It's like, why would I want to do that? Well, because you want something greater. Lately, I've been thinking about this a lot, and it's definitely in context of this trying to be healthier deal. There's an author and a speaker. He's about my age. His name is Nabil Qureshi, and he wrote a book several years ago that introduced me to him. It's called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. And he's done so much work. The Lord called him to faith out of a Muslim background. And he's doing so many good things for the church, helping us understand Islam, how to love Muslims, how to reach them, how to talk to them about Jesus. And so he's played a very important role right now. About a year ago, he's at lunch with one of his mentors, and he was feeling sick to his stomach. He started to feel sicker and sicker, eventually went to the doctor, and it was found he had stage 4 stomach cancer. The guy's 38 years old. So he's been in Houston over the last year being treated. He's actually worked with our Chi Alpha group there at Rice on a number of times while he's in treatment. And over this last 2 weeks, they said the radiation's not working. It wouldn't be fitting to go in and operate. At the moment, they're giving him a 1% chance to survive. They're expecting that he'll probably pass relatively soon. He's still praying for healing. He's still believing for healing. But as I'm looking at that, I'm thinking, Lord, so many things in life, you know, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow anyway. And I've been kind of trashing. I've not even been doing what I know I could be doing to take care of myself better. And then here's this guy with this tremendous call and gifting on his life, and it's going to be so short. I realize this is all ministry, but you can take this thought right and transpose it to your own life. I have another friend, again, around the same age recently, who had part of his leg amputated, and he's losing his sight. He's also very sick, but for him, it's because he's been eating himself to death, and he's gotten so huge, and it's awful. And in thinking about that, he'll lose years of his calling to be effective for Jesus unless he finds a way to change. He'll lose years with his wife, with his children. I'm thinking about, Lord, is the vision you have for my life, is it precious enough for me that I'll be willing to say no to lesser things so I can be as effective for you as long as you will let me be here? Because none of us are promised tomorrow, are we? And if we knew tomorrow was it, might there not be a million things in our mind, just lesser things that we've allowed control us too much that we would say, yeah, I would have chosen to go without that if I had taken seriously the vision that God had for our life. So forget about what you don't want to give up. What do you want to have? What do I want to have? I can have great things, but I can't have everything. I've got to be willing to say no. And then lastly, guys, talk about the reward of a fuller life, the reward of a stable life, the reward of fulfilling a vision for God. Lastly, is just the reward of Jesus. You realize none of us can earn our way into heaven, not even a little bit. And so that comes purely from submitting our hearts to God, not being prideful, forgive me, take control of my life, giving all that to him. But then beyond that, Scripture actually talks about us being proportionally rewarded for the work we have done for Jesus here in this life. And so Revelation chapter 21 actually says, these are the words of Jesus, "Look, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to repay each person according to what he has done." We tend to think of like repayment from God as, boy, I better get my life right so that I'm not paid for the wrong I've done. No, Jesus is saying, I am aching to reward. Heaven and then some. The best rewards that an infinite mind can come up with are what Jesus is desiring to give to us. And it's not in proportion to our talent or to being able to do something better than someone else. It is just a willingness to submit our whole life to God and say, whatever you want, no to me, yes to you. What do you want, Jesus? Can you believe that? Scripture talks about Jesus learning to say no to himself too. It says, for the joy set before him, because of something he wanted, he endured the pain of the cross. There's an element of this where we have to remember that Jesus didn't have to do it. In Matthew 26, you know, remember this, Jesus is in the garden, he's praying with his disciples, and he actually says to the Father, listen, if there's another way, he says it three times, if there's another way to do this, let's not go to the cross today. Nonetheless, not my will, but yours. Scripture says he fell on his face. He prayed this three times. If there's another way, but ultimately he denied himself for the joy set before him. And who is that joy? You. Me. Us. That was great enough for Jesus that he said no to himself. And whenever the armed guard came to get him, you remember this? Peter freaks out and cuts off someone's ear. And Jesus heals the guy's ear, and Jesus says to Peter, Peter, listen, don't you know that at my word I could call down thousands of angels and get me out of this? But what did he do? He denied himself. Because the easiest way is not always the best way. Yes to self is not yes to greater things. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of a swimmer, young woman named Florence Chadwick. She was young. In 1952, she was young. And she had already been the first woman to swim the English Channel there and back. And she wanted to become the first person to swim from Catalina Island to the shore of California. And so it's a big deal with much fanfare. She has some friends and her mother in a boat beside her, really cheering her on. The thing was, it was incredibly foggy and she was wearing out. And she told her mom, Mama, just let me get in the boat. I'm done. And her mom said, we're closer than you know if you will just keep going. Finally, she just couldn't move her arms anymore. She gets in the boat. She was a mile from shore. And this is what she said. She said, it was the fog. Because I couldn't see where I was going, I couldn't move another inch. She said, but if I could have seen the shore, I would have kept going. We have to remember that saying no to self is not an end in itself, that a great reward is coming. And Scripture talks about eternity making our life seem like a flower that springs up for a little while and then dies. It says our life is like a vapor, like the spray bottle that you might use on your hair. You spray that up in the air and it's, and then it's just gone. There will come a point where all of our life, all of our sacrifice, all of our hardship, in comparison to what is coming, will seem as brief as that. what will you say no to now for the sake of enjoying more then? You will become as small as your controlling desire or as great as your dominant aspiration. May our dominant aspiration be to please Jesus, to hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now come in. I'm giving you many things." That's pretty wonderful. Here's how I want to close, though. You might be asking, like I'm sort of asking, "That's awesome, but how?" Like, if I could say no to myself, just if I could wave a magic wand, I would have waved it a long time ago, Lennon. How? Well, Scripture actually talks about self-control, the ability to say no, as being a fruit of the Spirit. That means it's not a magic wand issue. It's not a gift of the Spirit. Fruits are grown, right? They come in varying stages. And so even if you and even if I, we are trying to be as self-controlled in the right ways, I'm not talking about like some masochistic, weird psycho, "I will never have sprinkles on my ice cream." I'm not talking about anything like that. You know what I'm talking about, right? I hope. Fruits of the Spirit are grown. They progress. And so we actually sang the perfect song this morning for this type of message. "Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you." If we are to change at all, it's going to be because we have more of the help of the Lord than ever. It is going to be because we are honest to God in prayer. I've done this so many times. "Lord, help me want what you want, because I'm not wanting it. I understand that you want this of me. I'm not wanting this for me." It's okay to be that honest with God. Philippians actually says that he will help us to will and to do according to his good pleasure, which means not only is he going to help us grin our teeth, bear it, and do it, he is going to eventually help our hearts come in line with what is right, to where we don't just do the right things by the grace of God, but we even want them. So this morning, the way I would like to close is actually with that song again, Chris, if we can. And here's what I would like to ask each of us to do, is to be honest with God in reflective prayer. You know, the hardest thing, Scripture says we're to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. One day I was reading something written by Rick Warren, and he said, "The hardest thing about a living sacrifice is that it tends to always crawl off of the altar." If we're going to offer ourselves anew to God this morning, it is okay to do it anew. "Lord, I am thankful for your salvation, but boy, could I use your help to look more like you while I'm still here. Lord, I want to do what is right. I want to submit my desires to you. Lord, I cannot do it unless you help me." It's an okay place to be. And what Scripture promises is that if we submit ourselves to God and we desire what he desires ever increasingly, we will be transformed from glory to glory, that our life will begin to look more like his word, and that he will help us. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you so much. Father, a message like this is in some ways like medicine that we may need, but it tastes sour going down. Lord, what we all know in here, what I know from experience, is that it's not enough to just want to change, that you've got to help us. Lord, I realize that this type of message, if it's not said in the context of your relationship and love for us, it can come across as some mean taskmaster, overwhelming list that we cannot live up to. And so, Jesus, if we try to control ourselves apart from the help of your Spirit, we end up throwing our hands up and saying, "Forget it, I knew we couldn't do it anyway." But you have not asked us to do this alone. You say, Lord, that self-control is a fruit of your Spirit. So we ask you this morning, help this fruit grow. Lord, may the years of knowing you be evident in the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Lord, we're asking you to help. As we close with this song this morning, God, I ask you to communicate to each of us, to say things to our hearts and spirit that I couldn't say, to help things be received by us in ways that I can't manufacture. Lord, we want to say no to self so we can say yes to you. Stir our hearts, help us to want what you want so that we can do what you want. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Grace Hill is always about knowing God and growing in God. And we want to hear from you. If you have a prayer request or simply a question, you can email us at info@gracehill.cc.